Hey there, wrestling fans. Thanks for listening to our Fantasy College Wrestling Podcast. We really appreciate the support. Before we get started, I'd like to give a shout out to Audacity, a free and easy to use audio editor and recorder, as well as Anchor. Anchor is a free podcasting service that will allow you to record straight from your computer, laptop, or phone. And Anchor also allows you to easily distribute your podcast to platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher, to name a few. Anchor also gives you analytics to track how your podcast is doing, and the ability to monetize your podcast as well. And lastly, I'd like to thank bensound.com, which is where I got the intro and outro music for this podcast. Bensound.com is a royalty-free music site with hundreds of songs to use in your videos and projects. Again, thank you for clicking and listening. Hope you enjoy the show. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on when you're listening. This is the Fantasy College Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, Tony DeMarco. I am joined for our Week 11 Outlook by the one, the only, Todd Sheftick. Todd, how you doing?
Happy New Year, everybody. I'm doing well.
New year, new us. We're up to almost 100 listens on our podcast. We're making it. We're going to be somebody.
Yes, we're going to make it to the top of the mountain.
Yep. How was the weekend for you?
That's good. Wrestling tournament. Went 1-4. Could have probably won 2 and 3, but not bad.
Not bad. I mean, our last match, we got relegated to the JV gym.
Yeah, we got stuck in the closet.
It was the battle of Ophirs, and I think we had 10 contested matches.
Yeah,
and I think they all ended in pin.
Yeah, it was a fast duel meet. I think about a 15-minute duel meet.
They were happy to leave. We were happy to leave. Set this day behind us and keep moving forward.
Exactly. But
let's get on to some good wrestling after that weekend. Week 10 had the end of the Midlands. That was week 9 when the brackets came out, and into week 10 with actual wrestling. And we also had the Southern Scuffle. Good matches. I think it's safe to say that these tournaments have gone down. I don't want to say in quality, but from where it used to be in the past.
Especially the Scuffle.
Yeah.
I mean, the Scuffle was always super tough because you had Penn State, Minnesota, Cornell, and Oklahoma State. And you've taken three of those teams out of that tournament.
Yeah.
Basically, it's just Oklahoma State now.
And Iowa at Midlands basically dominated, and we'll get into that too. Setting a team record for most points by a team. Now, I think there's some, I personally think there's a little, caveat that you have to put in with that, but we'll get into it. Let's start with the Midlands just wrapping up. Basically we'll take it into around quarters, because that's when we started seeing the good matchups and everything. One of the biggest stories, and I noted this in the intro of my article for the Week 11 Outlook, Spencer Lee, it was questionable whether he was actually going to come in to the match. I think we talked about it in our last podcast that he was listed on the probable list for Iowa. Everybody was happy. He comes in, he pins his first guy, he pins his second guy, texts his third guy after day one. Everything's looking good. Typical Spencer Lee. He's on a collision course with D'Agostino.
Yeah.
And most likely, anything can happen. Most likely he'll see Glory in the finals. And then day two comes, and anyone who had that Flow Wrestling bracket notification thing got one around, I want to say, 9 o'clock or something like that before the start of the second day, that Spencer Lee was medical forfeiting out.
Yeah.
And people, myself included, went to Twitter, went to comment sections all over articles and on the interwebs, and started calling it a duck, started saying that, it's not fair that he's doing this. Now, it's an individual sport. I get it. He's got to be thinking of himself. He's pulling double duty. But what I saw was he went, got three easy matches, and then once he got to ranked competition, he Yeah. Medical forfeit.
He left.
That's exactly what happened. I'm not saying he's scared of DeAugustino. I'm not saying he's scared of Glory. I'm not saying that he was going to lose the Glory or Glory had a shot even. Who knows? I think it would have been closer. I don't think he would have gotten teched. But my whole thing is he didn't have to enter the tournament.
Yeah. Once you enter the tournament, finish the tournament. Unless you really do get hurt. But obviously he wasn't hurt because he tech.
Nothing looked out of
sorts.
He was
only on the mat for a total of 3 or 4 minutes in 3 matches. It
was less than 5.5. Yeah, for three
matches. And he's not – obviously wasn't injured.
Now they
so
Tom Brands did say in an article or in a video interview that, you know, there's that 15-match threshold to qualify your RPI for the allocation spot.
Yeah.
Basically. And that's what they're doing. That's what they're trying to build it up. But I get it. He's a team captain, he's the leader of the team, you know, he wants to be there with his team. But you can do that and not wrestle too. And I get that he's skirting the system right now. And I don't like that. I don't like it's making a mockery of what the regular season is.
Yeah. I don't like it because people pay really good money for some of these tournaments to go and watch the big matches. And the big match for that tournament, one of the big matches was Glory Lee.
Right.
And maybe even DeAugustino, you know, Lee. Not I'm saying DeAugustino was going to win, but he's a good freshman.
But DeAugustino's been on fire lately after taking over the 25 spot.
And,
so
I'm pretty sure Lee would have won that match. But everybody wanted to see the finals between Lee and Glory.
The Northwestern kid going up against the number one, consensus number one. But ultimately, it didn't happen. Again, I'm not saying it was a duck, but it looks like a duck, especially since he missed the duel with him, too, because he was preparing for senior nationals. I get it. He's pulling double duty. He's getting the minimum, but you can go to other tournaments. You can get D1 competition to make that up. But at the end of the day, I think if they wrestle out and him and Glory are undefeated going into nationals, I don't see Spencer Lee getting the number one seed.
He will because of just the way it works, but he shouldn't.
They'll look at past performances, which is ridiculous year to year. You can't just say because the Patriots have won the past six Super Bowls in the past 15 years that they should automatically go into the playoffs as the number one seed.
I mean,
you have to use this season.
I think we talked about it before, you know, with prestige points, which I think is a good idea for college, and also losses. If you don't wrestle the semifinals and you default down to six, then those should be losses on your record.
Yeah. And
that's what it's like in high school, and it works.
The NCAA rules committee was looking at that coming in. We've been a big proponent in our own fantasy league.
We count them.
We count medical forfeits as losses. It sucks. You know, you don't have anything to do with it, but it doesn't count on their actual record. But you know, you made weight, you entered the tournament. The expectation is you're going to wrestle.
Right. Especially when a guy, if you're not there and you're forfeiting out, the other guy is getting a win because he has to advance in the tournament. So how does somebody get a win? The other guy doesn't get a loss.
Right. And I think with like most things, had good intentions. Somebody's injured. Don't hold that against them. I get it. That makes sense too. But then when people start taking advantage of the system,
you need to change the system.
Right. That you have to keep up with the times or else you fall behind.
Yeah.
So ultimately we got in the other semi to get off of Spencer Lee. Other semi was Brock Hudkins and
Glory. Yeah.
And Glory. That was a wacky match. Hudkins came to play. He almost had him
rode the tar out of him.
And it got into one of those weird situations where they're both funking each other and they both have a leg and it just twisted a little bit oddly. It stinks because Hudkins was out for a while, I think, with injury. He hadn't competed in a couple of the duels or whatever. He almost had Glory, almost an upset. But Glory ended up taking the tournament because he ended up wrestling DeAugustino. I'll say that about Lee's forfeit. At least he did it in the semis so that there wouldn't be a medical forfeit in the finals, if that was the plan. But that was my question in my article, too. If medical forfeits counted as losses, would he have even showed up?
Right.
I don't think he would have entered the tournament if they counted
as losses. Or he would have finished the tournament.
Right. But again, as we've talked with seeding meetings, that's where your coach is supposed to say, he medical forfeited out of the tournament. It counts as a loss, but here's the reason why. And
stuff like that. Well, and the other thing is, it's not fair to Glory, who had two opportunities to wrestle Lee and didn't get to wrestle him either time, and now we'll go to Nationals, and Lee will probably wind up getting the higher seed. And it's really not fair.
Well, if anything has been proven, Lee needs to be the number three seed in order to win a national title that's true. Win any big tournament.
But you know that if Lee goes undefeated this year and Glory goes undefeated, that Lee is going to get the one seed, even though he had two opportunities to wrestle Glory and both times he didn't wrestle him.
Right.
And I don't think that's fair to Glory to say you're the two seed because Glory was willing and able to wrestle Lee.
He was out there, he presented himself, but there wasn't anything that Lee did to counter it. So yeah. I don't know. Maybe they'll address it at some point in the future. We hope so. But
yeah,
going on the 33, lived up to the hype.
Oh my God, yes.
DeSanto is number one. Took care of Piotrowski, who's in his own right having a good year up at 133. I think he's maybe, you know, it's a senior year. He's able to eat a little bit more. He's got good practice partner. He's got Lucas Bird behind him, red shirting, who's shown to actually be pretty good so far. But then on the other side, you had Rivera and Gross.
That was a great semifinal match.
Yeah. Rivera looked dominant.
Yeah.
And if you're just if you're not keeping score and you're just showing someone who doesn't know anything about wrestling the match and you ask who won, you would probably say Rivera was the winner. But points wise, Gross ends up winning 8-7. Controversy when it comes to reffing.
I think they got the call right. They gave him the reversal, but Gross never broke the grip on the leg. Mm-hmm. So I think it was the right call. I think they went back and reviewed it and realized that.
I mean, it ultimately
they had the right call.
It came down to something, and I was listening to the Rudas podcast with Askren and Dernlund today. Seth Gross pulled out a lat drop. I didn't know he can do that.
Yeah,
I didn't know that was part of his arsenal.
Yeah, that was that was a beautiful lat drop, and won him the match because he was down 6-2.
Yeah,
and
without that, it's a tough climb.
Yeah, I don't think he gets back into that match without the 6-point throw. And you know what? I'm just going to throw this out here on this podcast. I'm taking Rivera to win Nationals this year because that match was not even close until that lat drop.
Yeah.
And I don't think Rivera gets lat dropped again, but I can see Rivera getting those takedowns.
Now, with that, though, so he drops in. He makes the Conti final match against Piotrowski. Sebastian Rivera's kind of I wouldn't say coasting. He's winning. He's got a sizable lead. I think it was like 6-1 or something like that. And they kept going into injury time, something like that. And Rivera ends up injury defaulting the match. I don't know if it was because of blood time. I heard something say that Rivera heard a pop and they weren't going to chance it, so they just lost it. Hopefully it's nothing serious.
Yeah.
We'll find out because they got a couple matches coming up.
But as far as the eyeball test goes, I really like the way Rivera's wrestling at 33. I mean, he looked dominant. He looked good. He looked powerful. Great ankle picks. I mean, just beautiful. He looks great.
Yeah.
He looks like he's ready to win a national title.
But Seth Gross got the better of him.
Yeah.
You know, he had more points than Rivera at the end when the clock at zero.
So and it was a close match. And even at the end with the reversal, you know, it almost, got behind him.
There's a chance we see this again at Big Tens. It really depends because RBY
is going to be in there too.
But he's going to be the real kind of wild card in this because Wisconsin wrestles Penn State and Iowa wrestles Penn State. So if RBY wins both of those, that throws the whole seeding thing into a frenzy. But Gross, DeSanto in the finals.
Great match.
Fireworks right off the bat.
Yeah.
Gross almost locks up a cradle. I think the momentum was a little bit too much that DeSanto was able to pop his head out. A controlled match, a different Seth Gross, a different approach, I think. But something – DeSanto is an engine. He's going to come at you.
He's a spark plug, man.
For all seven minutes.
He doesn't get tired.
Seth Gross has been showing that he's losing a little bit of steam at the end of matches. So I think he's using that championship caliber that he has from his previous years, you know, that savviness.
Yeah.
Mason Beckman noted in his article from Home Man Advantage. But I called Gross beating DeSanto. I thought the second time around, you know, everyone usually gets the better of DeSanto. Do you think this is going to be a rematch in Big Tens?
It depends.
Well, you think Rivera's going to win Nationals, but
it depends on where the bracket falls out for the Big Tens. If Gross now beating both Rivera and the more recent victory over DeSanto gets the one seed, then you get probably, you know, DeSanto 2 seed, Rivera 3 seed, and then maybe RBY 4 seed.
That I don't see who else. I'm trying to think, Big Ten 133-pounders.
Now you got Micić is out with a Olympic red shirt, right. So he's not in the picture.
Serbian Sickle taking his second in Olympic red shirt.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah.
So Big Ten is always fun to watch too, but the 133 is going to have, I think, it very well could be Big Ten seeding is what national seeding is going to be.
Yeah.
One, two, three, four.
Absolutely. With Phillippe thrown in there from Pitt somewhere as well. Yeah.
And he took a loss over the weekend too.
Yeah,
we'll get to that. Basically 133 was fireworks, and I think it's going to be like that the rest of the season too. Who's going to have that falter moment? Who's going to slip up? Who's going to, and you know,
I just like the way that, I like the way Rivera and DeSanto get the legs.
Yeah.
And, I just think one of those two will probably wind up winning it this year just because they have really great gas tanks and they just get the legs really well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Gross is very good at scrambling, very good. But when those guys keep getting on your legs, they're going to finish at least two of those takedowns, and that might be the difference.
Yeah. And so moving on to 141, where a lot of people thought Iowa had a little bit of a weak spot with Max Murin. There was some chatter about, oh, does Jaden Ironman come back? And maybe he goes 141 and takes out Max Murin. Murin wins this tournament. I wouldn't say handedly. He had a match with Josh Heil in the finals.
Yeah.
Heil had a very good tournament, taking out Tristan Moran in the semis.
I think this was the weakest weight at the Big Ten or at the Midlands this year was 141.
Yeah, I mean,
it wasn't really the firepower that like you saw, like for instance, at 33.
Right, there wasn't one clear head and shoulders above everybody else kind of guy.
But you didn't have any of the top guys from at 141 at this tournament.
Yeah.
You didn't have Nick Lee. You didn't have Pletcher. You know, you didn't have any of those top guys. Demas didn't come. Even though I think Oklahoma sent some of their guys there, I believe.
Yeah, but, a couple of their guys, but none of the
right,
Woodley, Demas, any of those.
Right.
I mean, Murin was the number one seed. He had a fall in the first round, and then he decisioned his way to the championship. So, I mean, not a lot. Two bonus points.
Yeah, I think I actually picked Murin to win this weight just because I wasn't really wowed with the other participants at the weight. I figured he would probably get it done.
Yeah.
He's a grinder. He's, you know, Iowa style.
Mm-hmm. PA kid.
Yeah, PA kid, but not as flashy, obviously, as a Spencer Lee or a Kemmer. He doesn't put up those kind of points.
Right. Well, we'll see what happens. I think he's kind of locked in at 41 now. I personally don't think Ironman's coming off unless something crazy happens in Penn State.
Yeah.
But we can talk about that later, too. Austin O'Connor was your number one seed at 149. Lugo, the number two. Max Thompson, 3. The 4 seed was... Who was the 4 seed?
He went down early.
Yeah. Looking back here. Oh, he went down really early.
Yeah, he went down in the first round.
Oh, it was Yaya Thomas. Yeah, he went down in the round of 64. Not a great tournament for Yaya Thomas, who I thought was going to be pretty good. But Austin O'Connor ended up going in.
Not a really good tournament for Austin O'Connor either. He won on very late scores in two of the matches.
Yeah, well, I'll say he went through the Pokemon gym that is Iowa, and he had Glosser first, then he had Vince Turk in the semis, and then he had Pat Lugo. So, you know, just like in Pokemon, how you work up your way to the gym boss. He basically did that. Decision, last second decision with Glosser, last second decision with Vince Turk, and then Lugo kind of handled O'Connor in the finals.
Lugo, I kind of thought going into that match, the way O'Connor was wrestling so close that Lugo was probably going to get the best of him.
Coming into the tournament, I think he had like 10 wins and all of them were by major. Now he went to the Cleveland State Open. Obviously, that wasn't as high caliber D1 talent as Midlands, but still, you know, I mean, bonus points are bonus points. Yeah. And he looked good early against non-Iowa people. You got a major against Oklahoma. You got a major against Central Michigan guy. He had a
tech fall in the first round.
Right. It's just when you hit Iowa, I guess, that's his kryptonite.
Yeah.
But Lugo, give credit to Lugo. He's looked good. He's actually putting attacks together. Last year, he was kind of hesitant. Even wrestling in, like, Big Tens against a sucked-out Brady Berge, he was having issues.
Yeah. I had him on my fantasy team last year. Wasn't the best pickup. I thought I was getting a steal. I took him in the later round and figured
You thought you were going to get this year's
logo last year. I thought I was going to get the logo that we're seeing this year is the logo I was expecting last year. But he's definitely upped his game this year. He looks great.
And a little bit of news was Kanan Storr coming out of Olympic red shirt. He had, a yearning to wrestle this year. So he talked with the coaches, Bormat, and you know, he's back. Michigan had their match last night against
Oregon State,
and they lost that because they were depleted. Apparently Kanan Storr had a skin thing and couldn't go. And this is the year of skin diseases, apparently, or more stringent doctors. But Keyshawn Clark, who's a guy I have on my team, who's probably available in your leagues, he's actually second most when it comes to fantasy points this year. He's got 83 fantasy points in WrestleStat. I have three leagues in WrestleStat, and he's available in all three.
That's crazy.
So I don't know why people haven't picked him up. I kind of have a plan going, so that's why I don't have him on my team. But he doesn't really have tough competition until maybe the last week. I think they wrestle maybe Penn State. I think American wrestles Penn State in like the last – and that's winnable. That's going to be – Verklaren
or Gardner. So that'll be might be winnable.
Maybe tomorrow. Pfeiffer, who knows? Depending if they use some Penn State magic. 57. Really weird. Marcus Hartman from Army, the backup for Army, ends up making the finals. He takes out the number one seed, Quincy Monday.
Yeah.
He takes out Anthony Ardalona in the semifinals. And he took out Logan Parks from
– Yeah, Penn Parks too.
Yeah. And he gave Caleb Young a really good match too. But Caleb Young ends up – after he had a crazy match with Kendall Coleman in the semis. That was weird. It was an overtime match. Kendall Coleman got taken down.
And laid on the mat.
Defeated because he thought he lost. But – you kind of have to wrestle through, and it counted as a point, so that just adds to the Iowa. It wasn't a pin, but it was a pin.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, but it definitely was a pin.
He got taken down and said, darn it, I lost, and laid there on the mat. And technically, shoulders were flat on the mat.
He was pinned. You got to wrestle through until they call the two, you know. But good tournament for Caleb Young, kind of maybe a confidence booster for him, because I know coming into this, he had a couple close matches. He had some bad losses. Bad losses, but he lost to – Hidley, I think, right?
Yeah.
And
he had a couple of really tough he lost to Carr.
Yeah.
And Hidley and
right.
So he had a good tournament. I'm impressed with Quincy Monday coming back and taking third after the early round loss.
Yeah, and beating Kendall Coleman, Kendall Coleman's been having a great year. It's unfortunate that he has a couple losses, you know, but Quincy Monday beating Anthony Ardalona too.
Yeah.
And it says Anthony Ardalona took sixth. Yeah, he lost the Parks. He actually wrestled. He keeps things close. So
he's one of those guys. He's extremely, not very good for fantasy purposes.
Extremely talented, but he keeps things close. And as we've seen with guys like Tsirtsis and countless others, if you keep things close,
Andrew Howe.
You keep things close, one bad takedown.
Yeah, one reversal, one takedown, one whatever, you lose.
Right. So
Dean Heil.
Yeah.
You saw what a close match.
That was more of the rule that they put in place, I think.
Grab the toe.
Right. So 165, what we thought was going to happen, Marinelli versus either Evan Wick for the zillionth time or David McFadden. McFadden ends up beating Evan Wick.
That was a crazy match.
Crazy match. Great match. And I think that's good for David McFadden owners, because I know that people were worried about him losing to Ethan Smith
early.
It was on penalty points. It won't be replicated again, but a loss is a loss, and you get worried. You start second-guessing yourself.
He was on my team, and I was kind of getting frustrated with him not wrestling, and he was out of a couple tournaments that he was supposed to go
but
to.
But I give Virginia Tech credit for, you know, he missed CKLV. CKLV?
Was Cliff Keen,
going to another big tournament to get those matches in.
Yeah, and get those wins against guys that you want to get seeded ahead of at Nationals, and you're not going to hit them at any other point. So I give McFadden credit for going there. He knew Marinelli was going to be there. He knew Wick was going to be there. He needed to, you know, at least try to beat one of those guys, which he did. He winds up beating Wick, which could have come up big for, you know, when seeding comes out for Nationals.
Right. And so he wrestles against Marinelli. They keep it close. Marinelli, I think, though, controlled the match. Never really in doubt that he was going to lose, but, you know, Marinelli is just a bull.
Yeah.
Which is why they call him the bull.
Yeah.
I Marinelli is, to me, kind of like a Dan Marino. Super talented, definitely during the regulars, or Peyton Manning, if you want to use that more recent analogy. When it comes to the postseason, he hasn't had the greatest success.
Yeah, he's faltered a little bit at Nationals, but his weight class has also been the toughest at Nationals, like every year he's been in college. Yeah. So, I mean, you've had Mekhi Lewis, you've had Vincenzo Joseph, you've had Isaiah Martinez. I mean, just crazy brackets.
Right.
Logan Mesa. I mean, that weight class has been insane.
Last year was Chance Marshall or Evan Wick.
Yeah.
Isaiah White. Yeah. It's just absolutely nuts.
Josh Shields. I mean, weight classes. Yeah. It's
Logan Massa. Just
unbelievably loaded.
So 65 kind of played out the way we thought. Evan Wick, number three. David McFadden, we thought those guys were going to be 2-3 somewhere in there. Yeah. And Marinelli with the win. Danny Bronigal actually coming up pretty nice with a fourth place finish.
Yeah, they look good. Both the Bronigal brothers looked really, really good at this tournament.
And Zachary Hartman, even though from Bucknell coming in sixth place at this tournament, he's been having a good year too. He's a bonus point guy. He's a
bonus
pinner
point machine.
And he's definitely a guy you want to look for. Now, Bucknell, I don't think, has a great schedule coming up in the next couple weeks, but definitely a guy if you're looking for somebody for bonus points with Bucknell's schedule.
Yeah, definitely. And probably available in some of the leagues.
Absolutely.
Too.
I think he's available in our league too.
Yeah.
But going on the 174, it was a rematch of CKLV, Lighty versus Steyert. Lighty comes out victorious again. Joey Gunther, I was amazed when brackets first came out. Joey Gunther, I thought, could make the semis. He did make the semis. His decision train, keeping everything really close, but he got majored by Bryce Steyert. Lighty beating Ben Harvey. I think, was that a round of 16 or round of 12 match?
Last year? I think it was.
Something like that. And Lighty beating Clay Lott, who's no slouch himself. Lighty having a great season. ASICS just came out with their Hodge rankings, and because he's undefeated and, you know, the type of ranked wins that he's had, he was listed.
Yeah, he deserves to be listed.
Absolutely.
He's having an outstanding season.
Yeah, but other than that, not really anything else. This was kind of a weaker way with Joey Gunther getting third, Brian Harvey getting fourth, and then just kind of – Donnell Washington from Indianapolis University took sixth. Good on them.
Yeah.
You know, bad for you guys if anyone wrestled them, because you're not getting those points because it's not D1. 84, again, kind of an odd weight, especially for Iowa. They sent in their three guys, Nelson Brands, Cash Wilkie, Abe Assad. Lujan ended up winning this bracket pretty handily. I don't think anyone really got close to him, but Abe Assad beat Tanner Harvey. Tanner Harvey's good. Tanner Harvey's been all about bonus points. But Nelson Brands was the number two seed. I thought that was kind of a generous two seed that he got. Ends up getting beat by Zach Bronigal in a close one. Drops down to the blood round where he meets teammate Cash Wilkie. Ends up losing 4-2 to Cash Wilkie. So Brands doesn't place at Midlands. Cash Wilkie ends up taking third. Abe Assad ends up taking second. Recent article or snippet from Brands was that anyone in 184 is still on the table.
Yeah. With Wilkie taking third, I don't think it makes much sense to pull Assad off his red shirt this year. I think Wilkie will All-American at the weight and, let Assad finish his red shirt. But
I don't – 184 is just packed.
That's what I mean. I don't know if Assad – I don't know if he All-Americans.
Yeah. The thing is, Nelson Brands, I don't think, is an 84-pounder. I think he's more of a 74, maybe 65. 65 might be cutting it. But right now at 84.
Yeah, the top eight are really good.
Yeah. And then you have Samuel Colbrey, Cameron Caffey, Jelani Embry, Johnny Sebastian, who has given fits to Cash Wilkie.
Yeah.
You know, you got a lot of good guys in that kind of blood round area. So I don't know if pulling Abe Assad, but if they end up somehow losing to Penn State, do you question woulda, shoulda, coulda?
No, because I like we just talked about, I don't know if Assad All-Americans. That weight class is so deep. It'd be a shame to pull him off red shirt and have him lose on the blood round or something. And then, you know, it's like you pulled his red shirt and he didn't All-American. And, you know, it was kind of like be a waste of doing that.
But it's going to be interesting to see what they do when they have their upcoming matches, because I think they face Indiana and Purdue this coming week, in week 11. So it's going to be interesting. There's a bunch of lineup speculations throughout the NCAA right now, especially with the top tier teams, which is something you didn't think you were going to be saying in the second half
but
of the season.
My money, no pun intended, is on Cash Wilkie to be the starter going forward.
Yeah. And then 197, we had Warner as the number one seed. You had Pat Brucky as the number two seed. Christian Brunner, number three. And Thomas Lane as number four. Thomas Lane ends up getting beat right off the bat in this round of 16 match. But the final that we thought was going to happen ended up not happening in the championship, but in the Consi finals.
Yeah, the Consi finals.
So just a bit off. J.I.L.O. ends up beating Jacob Warner. Jacob Warner looked sluggish that match, and even in his match against Pat Brucky, too.
Honestly, I've not been impressed with Warner and his college career. He had a lot of hype coming out of high school.
I mean, he AA'd last year. That
weight class is so not loaded.
Yeah, and I mean, Pat Brucky, too, also had trouble with Brunner. Brunner's a grinder. He was on redshirt, and he came out of redshirt. He's always been known to be a tough out.
Yeah.
You know, I was actually kind of surprised that Brunner beat Brucky. I mean, Brucky, I thought, is a top echelon guy. I still do.
Yeah.
One, because I'm biased a little bit because he's on my teams. But Brunner ended up being ILO for the first place match. But I don't think a lot of people were actually watching that match. I think they were watching the rematch with Brucky and Warner. Brucky ended up getting like five takedowns on Warner, and ends up beating him pretty decisively, not leaving anything to
guess. Yeah, no doubt to that.
Yeah. I think he got four takedowns in a riding time point. But Warner, there's no question he's going to be the starter at 97, but he's not a guy that this year he's been getting some bonus points in his matches, but to me he's a decision guy. I think he's a low AA guy, which is nothing against him or anything.
No.
I still think he's the best probably 97 pounder in that room.
Yeah, there's no other option for Iowa right now at that weight. He was their big recruit.
Mm-hmm.
He was ranked, you know, one of the top guys in the country coming out of high school, and he's a low AA guy. I don't see him ever beating.
And it could be just maybe a bad, I'm doing air quotes, bad tournament, you know.
Yeah. I don't think he's on the same level as like a Colin Moore. I think he's definitely a tier below Colin Moore. And Colin Moore, honestly, is not that, you know,
he's gassed before. That's why I think Brucky
There's no Bo Nickel this year.
Right.
There's nobody that on that level that's that much better than everybody else.
Yeah. And so going up to heavyweight then, Cassiope with your number one seed. I thought that was a little generous being that he only has four matches, but he did beat Hilger. So I guess
that
makes sense. But he ended up beating Zach Elam. I watched that match over. Elam did nothing on bottom.
Nothing. Absolutely. I watched it too, and it was brutal.
And he's in red shirt, so I get it.
I think he thought it was freestyle.
He was waiting for the whistle.
He literally didn't move on bottom.
But Cassiope gets a pin in the round of 16. He decisions Elam. He gets a decision against Carter Easley from you and I, who beat Jerry Haino. And he meets Matt Stenzel in the final after Stenzel convincingly handles
Hilger. Surprised.
Yeah. Hilger ends up taking third place over, I'm not going to try to pronounce the Harvard heavyweight, Yaroslav Slavikuski. Ooh, good for Harvard.
Yeah.
The Johnny DeJulius factor is getting some Harvard guys on the podium here. But Cassiope looked good. That was basically Midlands. But the question is, so with Casser's health up in the air, how much does that vault Iowa in front of Penn State, do you think?
Oh.
Because without – so you would assume Casser would win out. He would be the number one. Gable Stevenson would probably be the number two. Maybe Cassiope, the number two.
Yeah.
Stevenson would – or Cassiope probably three. Hilger four, five, Stenzel – or four, Stenzel, five, Hilger, something like that. you get rid of Kasser, Cassiope could be the – you're basically separating Gable Steveson and Cassiope, probably the only guy who has a real big – well, then Mason Parrish too.
Yeah, Mason Parrish comes into play.
It's going to be really interesting. If he isn't there, that throws a lot of things
–
a lot of questions.
I've heard stuff, and obviously I don't have any inside information, so I'm not trying to say that I do, but I've heard that – that it's pretty bad for Kasar. It's his shoulder injury again.
Mm-hmm. It's the same shoulder, yeah. It looked like.
And but I heard that Penn State is probably going to go with Kirkfleet in the if Kasar cannot wrestle.
And I hope that's the case. I heard rumors that they were going to be pulling Seth Nevels out. There was something on the Seth Byers, the play-by-play guy for him, that mentioned something. Now he said the same thing. You know, he has no insight or anything. It's just what he thinks, what he saw. It looked pretty bad, and there's probably a quote unquote career ender, or you know, but I don't know. I really don't know.
I think,
but even if
Kirkfleet makes the most sense, he's college ready now. He took third at senior nationals in a very loaded weight.
But even if you put Kirkfleet in, I don't think he's winning it.
Yeah, he could. He's had some really close matches with Gable in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's definitely a title contender right away. He's that elite.
And I don't know. I need clarification on when he's going to be back, if he's allowed to be back.
He is. He's technically was allowed to be back in the second semester. So whatever, the 15th of January.
See, I've heard something different, that like because of the national letter of intent, it's the full year.
I think it was just he had to finish out the semester at Ohio State. That's okay. What I was told, that he had to finish out his classes for the fall semester. Mm-hmm. And that spring semester he would be fully transferred to Penn State.
Okay. Well, we'll see, because they got a couple matches coming up. Now, do they
put
Austin Hoops at heavyweight?
I don't know what they're going to do at this point. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, because if Kasar really is hurt, it's going to be a big decision on them on what they're going to do. Because they're not going to obviously pull both red shirts of Kirkfleet and Nevels. I don't think they do both.
Right,
so they'll probably just go with one guy, and that's the guy that's going to wrestle this year.
And
if there's any hope of Kasar coming back, I don't think they're going to pull anybody's red shirt. They'll just forfeit heavyweight or put somebody out there. But if it's bad and it looks like he's going to be out for the whole season, then they're going to have to make a decision.
But at some point, too, you got to get some matches in to get that allocation spot.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the decision's got to be, you know, it would be, you never want anyone to get hurt. But if you're going to get hurt, it's better to get hurt in the early part of the season so the staff can make a decision. Yeah. It sucks when it gets this late.
Does Snyder have any eligibility left? Yeah, he's in Penn State now.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't think.
Nah, darn.
But it's interesting. And something else, going back to Spencer Lee, that I just thought of. They were talking about him getting the minimum 15 matches of D1 competition to get the RPI for allocation. But conspiracy theorists in me, as we've been seeing with the senior level of J.O. and other guys who have already qualified for Olympic trials going and blocking spots, wouldn't it make sense for – now, I don't think he would pull this much of a dick move, but not get an allocation spot and go in the Big Tens and steal a spot so that a person doesn't go or something?
Yeah.
That would be the ultimate dick move, I think. But something, you know, because you're worried about getting those 15 matches, why not get it, steal someone's allocation spot.
Yeah, when Big Ten's and take somebody else's spot from the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, exactly. Someone has a bad tournament.
Interesting.
I don't know. Hopefully that doesn't become a trend.
Yeah.
I've just started a whole
thing. Open a can of worms there.
But doubtful that any D1 head coach actually listens to this podcast. So we'll do quick scuffle reactions. We're actually up against it because we got a dual meet coming on tonight. Arizona State at Ohio State should actually be a pretty good one. Nick Piccinini at the Southern Scuffle. So the Southern Scuffle down, as we said, from past years. Piccinini gets the number one seed. He was rolling until the quarterfinals. Quarterfinals, he runs into Sam Latona, who's redshirting this year, a freshman.
No, he's wrestling this year.
No, he was redshirting.
Is he? I thought he had wrestled dual meets for them.
No, Prada.
Oh, yeah.
He's wrestling for him. I do the same thing. I get Pradas and Latonas all mixed up for Virginia.
Now, I know Sam Latona from high school. My brother, who lived in South Carolina, saw him a lot at tournaments down in the South and said, look out for this kid. This kid's the real deal. And he really is. He looks amazing. Yeah. What a great pickup for Virginia Tech.
Yeah, and he showed why he was a high recruit because he went to the brink with pitching. And there was, of course, controversy.
Yeah.
Now, this quarterfinals were day one. And the rule with the Southern Scuffle is day one, there are no challenges allowed. So I know with Midland, I don't know if it's an NCAA thing or just with Midlands that they gave red shirts challenges. Yeah. I don't know if that's an NCAA rule, if that was just the Midlands, because before red shirts didn't have any challenges. Yeah. Now they do. There was a real odd exchange at the end. Latona had a leg up in the air towards the center. He tried to dive for the second leg. They went out of bounds, but he had the leg, the other ankle for a second, and then he lost it. They called no takedown, and because of that no takedown, it didn't go into overtime, and Piccinini ends up escaping that and ends up, you know, winning the tournament because of that. Did you think that was a takedown?
Oh, I know, like, the college switched over to the instant takedowns, but I like the reaction time takedowns.
And I think that's what it is. The only time reaction time isn't in play is when it's the rear standing hand touch on the mat. That's when – and I agree with that. Reaction time, what is reaction time? It's subjective. Everyone always says – you always complain about freestyle being subjective. Well, what about folk style? And this is so little of subjectivity.
Yeah.
You know,
I just think that you should actually get the takedown, not just grab the tip of the guy's wrestling shoe for a quarter of a second.
Right.
And his knees are on the mat and say, oh, I got the takedown because I had his other foot for, you know, a tenth of a second.
But right.
And then he kicked out. I'm like, nah, that doesn't fly for me.
Yeah. And so
Latona comes back and takes third in a very tough weight class.
So. Yeah. And Michael McGee showed up. He was injured, I think, and there he's redshirting this year. He makes it to the semis, but then medical forfeits out. I'm not sure why Luke Werner ends up getting into the finals, but Piccinini majors him. So
yeah.
Piccinini, after that Latona scare, kind of walked his way into a championship for the Southern Scuffle. Mickey Phillippe at 133 was upset by Sammy Alvarez, who ends up winning it. Cam Sikora majors and defaults in Texas way to the finals. Sammy Alvarez really controls him and ends up winning that match by a score of 5-4. Phillippe comes back, takes third in that. Mosher Schwartz, who I've been high on this whole year, takes seventh.
Yeah, placed.
So he plays as a freshman for Northern Colorado. Yeah. Keep that train rolling. I'm happy about that. Not really too much out of that. 41 is where it got a little interesting.
Welcome back, Caden Gefeller.
Gefeller is back. Gefeller ends up meeting Kyle Shoup in the semifinals. Weird kind of knee bend in that. I was worried. I thought they would have stopped it because of potentially dangerous. It was almost like what Brayton Lee had, just from a different angle, that kind of that knee wrench.
Yeah, that grab the foot, pull away from the body kind of thing.
Yeah, but, you know, coming into this semifinal, Kyle Shoup had a good tournament too, beating JoJo Aragona. JoJo ended up taking, I believe.
I think he missed.
He just missed the podium. Tariq Wilson had a bad tournament. He ended up taking eighth. He went in like four overtime, overtime matches.
My faith in Tariq is wavering at this point. I really thought he was going to have a pretty good year up a weight.
After the injury, I don't know. It just changed him a little bit. But Evan Cheek takes seventh. He beats Tariq Wilson. Alex Madrigal from George Mason. George Mason as a whole had a good tournament too.
Yeah.
Dusty Hone, good to see him doing well here. He ends up taking third place. But Real Woods is the story. Stanford, I think, was the story of the scuffle.
A great tournament.
Real Woods really controlled Gefeller from the get-go. There wasn't any point that I was really worried that Gefeller was going. Now, Gefeller's scrambly, you know, he always has that opportunity, but there's something about the way Woods was wrestling. And I think this was the last match. I think they started at 149 for the finals.
Yeah, Woods looked really impressive in this whole tournament.
Nobody of real note that's going to vault Woods into maybe top five status, but I think he'll probably be ranked ninth. He'll probably vault.
He should come up pretty high in the rankings.
Yeah, so I think he might be eighth something like that, just depending on where some of those other guys maybe fall. Yeah. 149, Recruiter Vandermeer was your number one seed, ends up getting beat by John Milner from Appalachian State. Appalachian State had a decent tournament as well, who ends up getting beat by Boo Alvarez, Andrew Alvarez, who meets his unfortunate kryptonite in the finals, Jaden Abbas, who, another Stanford kid who's on redshirt. I'll pose this future bet. In the next 4 years, over under 0.5 team trophies for Stanford.
I would say they could fit to do like a fourth place finish one of these years coming up. If they keep everybody there, with the portal now, you never know who's staying and who's going. But if they keep everybody that they have and some of the recruits that are coming in, absolutely. They're a contender.
You have Real Woods. You'll have Jaden Abbas. You have Shane Griffith. And
they have a pretty big
recruit, too. Year Traxler is. Is Traxler junior, I think?
I'm not sure. But they have a big recruit coming in, too. They have one of the top guys in the country. I have to look at the list. But they have one of the top, one of the really good blue chip recruits in the country that is going to Stanford as well.
Yeah. So you get that. You emulate what Edinburgh did.
Yeah. You have like five guys that are.
You have three really studs good. And you build around that and get a couple guys who can maybe fringe AA or something like that. Cornell's proven it in the past that, you have a couple studs, you'll win a team trophy.
Yeah.
So,
but Abbas, really impressed with him. Just, going to probably be just like his old man. His dad was a three-time champ. I don't know if Abbas will be a three-time champ, but I think he's going to at least get at least one or two titles under his belt.
Yeah, and it was 1-1 going into like the last 30 seconds. Abbas takes a shot, ends up getting a takedown. Boo gets one. There's a scramble. He's trying to get around. He almost had a cradle locked up to beat him. Time runs out. I think that's going to be a good rivalry moving forward. Yeah. I like the way that obviously Abbas is – Alvarez's only two losses in his career in high school and college have been with Jaden Abbas.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a good rivalry moving forward. I have Alvarez on my team. I like sticking with him. Even though he had that loss, I still have a lot of confidence moving forward.
That's not a bad loss. Abbas is the real deal.
Yeah. So 157, Hidley walks through this thing, decimates everybody by major, even in the finals against Jesse Delavecchia,
who
in his right is good too. Matt Sovostowski had a bad loss, I think, early on. He was the third seed, I believe, and he ends up taking fourth. He loses to Wyatt Sheets, who is down to one. Wyatt Sheets, he was at 65, I think.
For a little bit, I think.
Then he came back. I mean, nothing much to talk about there. Hidley doing Hidley things.
He's tough.
Jesse Delavecchia, I thought, was going to make the finals too. It's understandable that he loses by major to Hidley. I think Hidley is just trying to prove that he is the number
two guy
right now. Hopefully number one he wants. 165, Shane Griffith as your number one seed, coasted his way. He had a tough one with Whitlake and Schedule in the finals.
Schedule is a close one.
Yeah, good to see that. He beat Tommy Bullard in the finals, but Whitlake and Bullard make the Conti finals. Whitlake gained the best of that. Joe Lee from Penn State was here.
Took fifth.
Well. Kind of losing the Tommy Bullard, I'm not going to say it was a bad loss. No. It was a decision. It was close. Joe Lee looks huge to begin with.
He's not like his brother.
I don't know how he's making 65, but That's what you want to see from your blue chip recruits, though.
Yeah.
Obviously, you want them to win the tournament, but like Carter Strachey at 74.
Yeah.
But you want to see progress. You want to see him go against good competition and show positivity out of that. And I think that's what Joe Lee did.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even though Scuffle's down a little bit, you're still going against top deep competition, And 174, Joe Smith flamed out. Major in his first round of 64 match. Pin in his round of 32 match. Then gets beat by a good Lorenzo Di La Riva, but not someone who I thought he would lose to. I thought it would be a little bit closer. He ends up losing 7-2. He looked like he got shot in the thigh and just fell down like a tranquilizer dart.
Sack of potatoes.
And then he ends up medical forfeiting out of the tournament, so he does me no good. Neil Richards had a good tournament too. He ends up beating Chris Foca.
Yeah.
Chris
Foca. From the gray shirt from Cornell.
Yeah. Who was another guy just like Joe Lee is one of those blue chip guys. And Carter Strachey ends up being Neil Richards, sees Greg Harvey in the finals from Pitt and kind of coasts his way. He looked good. He's
the real deal.
As everyone has been saying, Penn State's going to be fine at 174 when Mark Hall graduates.
I don't know if Strachey's Mark Hall level, but he's going to be really good.
Yeah.
He's not going to be a drop-off.
No.
Or that much of a drop-off.
That much of a drop-off. But, I mean, you're coming into a year that's – you're going to have Miles Amin next year. You're going to have – Kemmer again, you'll have a couple other guys coming off redshirt or freshmen coming in. And so I don't think it's going to be that much of a drop off. 184, we had a rematch with the Trent Hidley, Lou Dupre saga. Yeah. Dupre majored Bonacorsi in the semis. I didn't see that coming. I thought it would be a little bit closer. And then Dupre and Hidley, this is going to be another kind of like rivalry thing.
They're both really good.
Good for the fans, maybe not good for Hidley and Dupre, but they keep going back and forth trading wins. They're both strong. They're both positionally good.
Yeah.
Dupre ends up winning that one 3-2. And then after that, I mean, you didn't have – a lot of the big names. Bonacorsi comes back, takes third. And then your fourth place guy is from Chattanooga, Matthew Waddell.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
A little top heavy on this.
Very top heavy, I would say. But you did, again, you had some like Oklahoma guys in go and things like that. So it is what it is, I guess, at the end of the day. 197. Gear was the number one seed. He ended up not making it. He lost to Ethan Laird from Ryder. Laird got beat by Noah Adams coming in, who was, I think, like 12-0 or something.
Yeah.
And Adams ends up pinning Traxler in a weird kind of – Traxler tried something weird and flippy, and he got thrown to his back and ends up getting pinned. Good for West Virginia. This could be the year that they finally get
– an All-American.
An All-American in a while since I think the Zeke Moisey era, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
So – and Traxler beat Michael Beard.
Yeah, that was a weird one because Beard was up pretty handily in that match and then kind of – the wheels came off.
I wouldn't say that's a bad loss. Traxler is a good wrestler. He's been around for a while.
Now, Beard was up, I believe, like 6-2 in that match and then lost late. And, I kind of wrote that match off. I was like, kind of following along, and Beard was up pretty handily. And then all of a sudden, I got a text that he lost, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, he was up like 6-2 when I was following. And again, that's
a freshman thing, maybe just fading at the end. Yeah. Traxler's a junior. So he's used to the rigors of a 7-minute match.
Yeah, and Beard still has his struggles on bottom, and I think that might be where some of those points came from.
Yeah. And then at 285, Demetrius Thomas, I thought was going to walk through this, ends up getting beaten by the Northern Colorado guy, Dalton Robertson, in the semifinals. Gannon Gremmel makes it to the finals, too.
Yeah, I picked that one.
Kerry Miller, that match, And let me get your take from it. So it's – what was it? Gremmel was up by one, and I think Miller went in – or I think it went into, like, ride outs or something. And Miller had the far leg like this, kind of not in a crackdown. Gremmel was out, so he had Gremmel's left leg, but he was against the side. Gremmel didn't have a leg hooked. He wasn't behind both arms or anything. He was trying to just butt drag to get behind and nothing. Ref didn't call anything for a little bit and then calls two without anything hooked or anything. I don't know if you can count that as two. They Appalachian State Iowa State challenged it first for something, and then Appalachian State challenged it for something. Or Appalachian State challenged twice, I think, because they didn't have anybody else really going or anything. Ultimately, they upheld it. I thought it was wrong, but, you know, they don't pay me the bucks to yell at
me. I mean, you're right. He didn't have a leg hooked. He didn't break the grip. He didn't really get his leg back. So I don't understand why that was all of a sudden a two. And the ref was saying no takedown. All of a sudden, it was like, two. Like, kind of like, what the heck? Like,
right. I think it was like a 3-2 in favor of Miller, and he was – or one – yeah, 2-1 in favor of Miller. He was holding on for dear life, and he was even showing the ref, look, I had the leg locked, the outside leg. He didn't have anything locked on me. How can you call – I don't know.
Yeah.
But Gremmel ends up winning. Heavyweight was – was pretty weak at that. I thought Demetrius Thomas was going to walk through. He didn't. I was a little disappointed in that.
Yeah, Pitt didn't have a very good tournament.
No. But, it was what it was. You had the people who competed, at least it's something.
Yeah.
It's not as strong as it has been in the past, but
I think Penn State will be back next year. Penn State kind of took us off the schedule this year because they wanted their guys to train for the Olympics.
Yeah, and it is a weird year in that sense. And that's like Arizona State hasn't wrestled forever either.
And it's kind of weird, though, because, you know, Cale said at the beginning of the season that the reason they weren't going to the scuffle is it's so close to Senior Nationals. But then you get to Senior Nationals, and hardly anybody from Penn State went to Senior Nationals, which kind of confuses me because – I think Kassar was the only guy that was there from the team. No, Nick Lee was there too, right?
Yeah.
But no Mark Hall, no Vincenzo, none of those guys. So they didn't go to this tournament, so those guys could all go to Senior Nationals.
And then they
don't go to Senior Nationals.
And they take 6 weeks off.
Yeah.
Something like that. But that's basically the holiday tournament roundup. There were a couple duels with the South Beach duels that we didn't catch.
Yeah, the South Beach duels were kind of chalk.
Yeah, Abel Stevenson dominated everybody.
What beat up Wood by 8-0, right?
Yeah, he blanked Wood. And Jordan Cutler won his matches. I think Cutler now kind of established himself as the top three part of that.
Yeah, I think
he's
third at that weight.
Yeah. I mean, something could happen. He is injury prone a little bit, unfortunately. Yeah. The past couple of years, he's been plagued with that. But I think a healthy, especially without Miles Amin there, he's wrestling for San Marino.
San Marino.
Yeah.
I have Cutler taking third this year. I think he's behind Hall and Kemmerer, but I think he's the third best guy.
Who knows? Maybe he has a good tournament. He could make it into the finals. It just depends on where he says he'll probably be third seed behind Kemmerer.
Yeah.
But that was basically the holiday tournaments. Anything else on that before we move on?
I'm ready to move on to this coming week.
All right. But now on to that sweet, sweet fantasy college wrestling content you've been waiting for. This is the second half of the 2020 season. This is now out of the holiday tournaments. We're out of the lighter tournaments like the Mattown Open and Cleveland State Open, things like that. Now we're in dual season. Every team, there's going to still be some of those smaller tournaments the Mattown Open 2 will be later on in the season. Usually they have that. There will be other small tournaments. I think the Armed Forces have their own.
They have their own tournament, yeah.
But this really goes into duels. This is where
the conference duels start.
Conference duel starts. You're going to have sometimes mostly one, maybe two, if you're lucky, per week. I know early on, looking at the schedules, a lot of teams have two duels right out of the gate. But you'll be lucky if your team does wrestle once during the week too. So just like a couple weeks before this, we were saying that it's all duels. There's like one tournament and a bunch of duels. You got to be real savvy with your lineup. You have to look at the risk versus the reward. Sometimes it may not even be worth putting in a guy at a weight. You might want to, if you have a guy who has a toss-up match where he could lose and be -3, that's a 6-point swing almost. So maybe not putting him in at all to heighten your chances. You know?
Yeah, or find guys that have the better matchups and go with some of your backups because they might have better matchups for this week.
Right, exactly. So what I did was I took a look at the duels this week, broke them down into who I liked, and I put the WrestleStat fantasy projections next to them too because we're in duels, so it's a little bit tougher with tournaments, who they're going to hit and doing a projection like that. But with duel season now here, it's a little bit easier to kind of have more of a ranking. Early in the season, it's hard to do a ranking. Now it's a little bit easier because you can see, but it's all about matchups
too. Yeah.
One aspect of this that will be updated as time goes on this week is the Virginia duels. So there's 8 teams going to Virginia duels. I know I'm going to miss it off the bat. It's Virginia, UPenn, Old Dominion. I think Fresno State is there. Maryland's there. Kent State, Rider, and Duke. Oh, I got all 8.
Old Dominion, did you mention them?
Old Dominion, yep.
Yeah.
So typically in the past, what they would do is, depending on how many teams they would have, you would be in like a group of three, you would round robin, and then the winner of that group would go into a gold mini bracket, second would go into silver, third would go into a bronze, and then you'd have like two more matches. So you get like four to five
matches.
Right. Yeah. With this, it's probably going to be an 8-team bracketed duel tournament. So there's not going to be those little round robin groups. So I would say anywhere between maybe three, maybe four, just depending on how it breaks out.
Yeah, usually if they do those 8-team bracketed dual meet tournaments, the teams that make the Concy semis will get an extra dual meet in.
Right. So
the teams that are in the finals will get three. The teams that lose their first two will drop right down to 7th and 8th and get three. Yeah. But then the teams that either lose and win or win lose in that Concy semi round would usually get that extra round.
So you want to hope that the team that your wrestler's on is good, but not too good.
Not too good, right.
So that they lose as a team, but your guy wins in the duel.
Exactly.
So he gets another match. So he gets four.
The teams that wrestle back for third would get the extra match.
Yes. So we'll just kind of run through real quick. I did list the guys from the Virginia duels that I like, because we know what teams are going to be there, so we can look at their rosters. I just don't know what matchups are going to be, who's going to be facing who, and who has the better kind of seeding, so to speak. So we'll start off at 25, get right into the Virginia duels ones. Jack Mueller, from what I'm seeing, is not listed on their roster.
Yeah, I wonder if he's still recovering from injury.
Yeah, we were talking about, Spencer Lee, whether he was going to go to Midlands or not. And after the brackets came out, Jack Mueller wasn't in there. He was talking after CKLV that he was thinking of going to Fort Worth for senior nationals. Wasn't there. Then we thought, oh, maybe he'll go to Midlands because he missed senior nationals. He wasn't at Midlands. Now it's this. Only as of this recording on Monday night, Kent State and Virginia were the only two teams I saw had their rosters out for it, and Jack Mueller wasn't on it. So maybe he's up in the air. Maybe he's questionable. We'll see if they come out with a thing on Virginia's actual website if he comes out for the Virginia duels or not. But if he's not there, two guys that I do like going would be Michael Colacchio from UPenn and Killian Cardinale. The other kind of guys going, I'm not really high on. They could win out, in the duels that their teams go in, but I don't know. Given their competition, I mean, you're going to be looking at Jonathan Tropia, who's up and down.
Yeah,
you're going to have Maryland or Thomas Gutierrez from Kent State. I just don't like the matchups. They might win one, maybe two, but I don't see them winning all of them.
Yeah, and if they split, then you're looking at probably a wash with your points.
Exactly. So you want to try to find those guys that have the maximum amount of points with the best matchups. Looking at some of the other just duels for 125, Alex Mackle, Iowa State's got at Utah Valley, and they're at the Devil Duels. So Devil Duels are going to be three matches. I think it's with Harvard, Arizona State, Iowa State, and Campbell.
Yeah.
Are the four teams that are going to be there. So you get three matches, plus they're wrestling Utah Valley also. Alex Mackle, I think, matches up pretty well with all 25s across. Probably the toughest one that he's going to have is Brandon Courtney from Arizona State. So,
but at a four duel, if he goes 3-1, you're still going to get points out of him.
Exactly. So. Especially if you bonus some of those other ones too. Yeah. So that's what you want to try to look for. Jake Grimacki, I haven't seen wrestling. I haven't seen his name in box scores that much. Last year he was a force. He was, 8-5 before I think getting injured, but he was 20-9 in a national qualifier in 2017 as a sophomore. This year he's 1-4.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he lost to Devin Schroeder, understandable. He lost to Cole Werner, understandable. Bryce West,
from borderline.
Borderline. I have him listed here because they're going against Cal Poly, and I think that he beats the Cal Poly 25-pounder by bonus. But then he loses or he beat Matt Maloney. So, I mean,
he lost to Gutierrez from.
Yeah, not horrible losses, but a couple questionable losses. So, the type of matches he's wrestling against SIU and at the KeyDet duels, hosted by VMI, that's going to be three matches also. I think he's the head and shoulders above all the other 25s that are going to be there at that. So, it's a risky pick. You don't know what kind of Jake Grimacki you're going to get, but I think he. definitely is a guy, if you're deep diving, definitely a guy to take a risk on. Otherwise, you have Brandon Peitzel, Nick Piccinini, Spencer Lee, Pat Laurie.
Yeah, all the guys, if you have them, you're starting.
Right.
So, and they're all getting a couple, and like, at least two duels.
And those matchups I like. Even though Spencer Lee is going to be going against Devin Schroeder, I still like Spencer Lee in that match as a bonus. Whereas, like, say, when you get to 65, I didn't put Evan Wick down there because he has a decent match with the one guy from who is it? I forget who they're wrestling. Minnesota, the 65 pounder is I'm blanking on names. Oh geez, I'm blanking. Anyway, he's facing Isaiah White next, so that's going to be a close one. He could potentially lose to Isaiah White. I think he has lost to Isaiah White too. So
he could lose both of them.
Exactly. So it's a toss up. You don't know that. Evan Wick is definitely an AA contender, high AA contender, but for fantasy sports, fantasy wrestling, you want to try to minimize that risk. Going up to
Skaska from Minnesota.
He's 74.
Oh, darn.
So, almost.
I pulled that one out.
I mean, we had the internet right in front of us.
Internet.
We could definitely check it, but it's bad podcasting.
Bad podcast.
But I'm sure.
We are everybody a Tic Tac out there. One Tic Tac.
Find us at a dual meet, and we'll give you one. The 65 is Bailey O'Reilly.
Oh.
So he'll beat Bailey O'Reilly probably by major, but there's a chance that he could lose the
Shield and then
to Isaiah White.
I'm sorry, White. Yeah.
And then you're at net 1 point. I don't know if it's worth the risk. Going to 33, Appalachian State has three matches and pretty good matchups too. Appalachian State didn't have the greatest of showings at Southern Scuffle. I actually had Cody Russell on my team and I said I was done with him. I was going to get rid of him. But then I looked at the schedule and I was like, well, they're wrestling Gardner Webb, they're wrestling Presbyterian and Davidson. I'll give them one last chance to try to help me. So Appalachian State, three guys I really like from them is Cody Russell at 33. I like John Milner at 49, and I like Kerry Miller at heavyweight for Appalachian State.
So what about Zovitowski?
Zovitowski, I like two. He is going to have, I think, one.
The Gardner Webb guy?
Yeah. He's going to have. Yeah, Zovitowski, Hunter Costa from Davidson is pretty tough. And Taylor Parks from Gardner Webb has been okay this season. He's 7-9. He's basically a 500 wrestler. But if we're looking at the comparisons between all three of them, I think Russell Stat is saying that he's going to end up with a decision. So plus three, a major, plus seven, and another major. So 11 points for Zovitowski. So yeah, I would run with Zovitowski if you can. I'm trying to see, did I put him on there? I think.
Yeah, you got him.
Yeah, I got him right there. And so finishing up with 33, Austin DeSantos at Indiana, at Purdue.
Yeah, bonus.
Tech, most likely. Yeah, he's really jumped levels from where he was with Drexel.
Yeah, he has.
But Zach Trampe is another deep dive kind of guy. He's facing Lehigh and Columbia and Hofstra. So he's got a potential for 9 points. Trampe has had little bonus success.
33%.
He's only wrestled six matches, and his competition really hasn't been the highest. So, I mean, he wrestled number 188, ranked number 75, number 58, Jared Trombley, won by decision, you know. So two of his matches were by major.
Yeah.
So he not the biggest bonus point scorer, but definitely a deep dive guy who's got three matches on slate. So if you need a 33-pounder to plug in there or a floater, he might be worth a look. Derek Spahn also teching everybody. I think he had an 18-1 tech this past week. He was kind of out of the lineup for a little bit, but he's at a 55 bonus rate.
Yeah.
13-3 on the season. He's probably a guy that a lot of people don't have.
Pick him up if you need him.
Yeah. And Louis Hayes from Virginia for the Virginia duels. There really wasn't anyone else looking at 33. You have Gary Joint.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
Tim. Yeah. Green, he should probably go undefeated at that schedule.
Yeah. It depends on what the matchups are, but I think Louis Hayes is back to the Louis Hayes of like his freshman year than he was last year.
He's looked much better this year.
So 141 from Cleveland State. You have Evan Cheek. He's at the key debt duel, so he's got three matches. I like him. I picked him up in all three of my leagues that I could. And he's projected to get 13 points.
Yeah.
So any if you can hit my rule of thumb is if you can get like 7 or plus points per week from a guy, you're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
So if you can get into the double figures with that, that's definitely a guy you want to target, especially if the matchups are there.
Yeah.
You know, if a guy has like, I think Andrew Alvarez for 149, and we'll get to, has two matches, but it's one's against Bulu Allen.
Yeah.
So that's probably going to be a decision toss-up.
Toss-up match.
It's either going to be...
Could lose.
Could be Boo or Boo.
Yeah.
But Caden Gofeller, like we said, came back at 141, so he's going to be back. He's facing Northern Colorado. Max Murin just had coming off a great Midlands run. He's going to be at Indiana at Purdue.
Not a bonus point guy, but should get two wins at those two matches.
Right, so. Exactly. And it already happened. Your roster was probably locked this morning, but Luke Pletcher, as we have on here, he's against Arizona State and against Rutgers, too. I think he – what did he end up with tonight?
He got the Tech.
Yeah. So he's already five there. I doubt he's only going to be held to a decision against Rutgers. I
think he's a major against the Rutgers.
So you're at nine. You might be ahead of the ball if you started Pletcher today. Going up to 149 – oh, I'm sorry. Sidarian Perry is the only guy I like from Virginia Duels. Again, we're looking at the next ranked guy, maybe Doug Zaff.
Yeah, not and much else there.
Doug was good. He wrestled at the F&M Open recently, and you know I think he went 2-0 and then forfeited out, just trying to get some matches, I think. But I think Sidarian Perry hasn't had a bad year either. If you look at his schedule – he lost to Mitch McKee, understandable. He lost to Tariq Wilson, that's understandable. And he lost to Real Woods.
Yeah, three really good wrestlers.
Yeah. So, I mean, he beat Ryan Promrinka. He beat, who else did he beat? Nothing. No, Irvin, Saul Irvin from SIUE.
He beat Grant Leith.
And beat Grant Leith at the South Beach Duel. So, I mean, I think he's a good start. He's at almost 25% bonus rate.
For this tournament, he should do really well.
Absolutely. Going up to 49, like I was saying, John Milner from Appalachian State. I see him getting double digits here. I picked him up in a bunch of mine. Reese Heller from Hofstra was having a good start to the season. He was up at one point. He was one of the top fantasy point getters because he was in so many tournaments Hofstra was going to. I think they went to like Bearcat Open. They went to some of those other minor tournaments. But of late, he's been a little bit on a losing streak.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a risky pick. He's got two matches against Binghamton and the Citadel. Not highly ranked guys or anything like that, but definitely guys that you can get the wins over.
Yeah.
Kanan Storr comes back off of redshirt like we were talking about. They're facing Michigan State. I don't think Michigan State really has a 49-pounder that's going to be able to compete with them. Who knows? You know, the Kanan Storr lost to Keyshawn Clark, who I also have on here. Keyshawn Clark is, and this was one of our questions that Russell Stad had put out. You know, Keyshawn Clark has a pretty good rest of the season. If you're looking at
Good matchups.
Good matchups. So this coming week they're going to have who are they having? Brown and Drexel. And then next week they have Lehigh, which is going to be Luke Karam most likely because Hoffman's probably out.
Yeah, he's hurt.
Right from that knee pry of Brayton Lee. And then they're against Columbia. Then I think they have a break. Just looking at the schedule here. They have a break. Then they got Navy, Binghamton. Then they're at Bucknell. Then a break. Then George Mason. Penn State's going to be their toughest match.
Yeah, that's the end of the year.
That's the end of the year. And who knows who their 49-pounder is, Penn State.
True.
At that point, is it going to be Berkler and Gardner, Pfeiffer, if he
gets down the weight?
Goes down? Yeah. So Keyshawn Clark. And he's also number two in total fantasy points across all weights right now. And he was available in all three of my Russell Stat leagues.
Yeah.
How
– pick him up.
How people are not picking him up, I don't know.
They're not listening to our show.
He's – yeah. Shame on you. Not you listening, but shame on that. Shame. We need the shame bell.
Yes.
Shame.
Shame.
157, David Carr from Iowa State. one of the guys, just like Jarrett Deegan at 149 for Iowa State, didn't go to the Southern Scuffle. A little disappointing that some of the top named guys, Alex Mackle,
Deegan. Yeah, none of their stars went to the.
And just a side note, I don't know what's going on with Austin Gomez. I think he's going to be out for the year.
I think at this point, probably right.
Because he had a concussion that he got from practice. He weighed 170 coming into the season. Yeah. He was supposed to be the 33 pounder. I think this year's a wash. I think they get him a medical year.
Yeah.
And just hope. Next year he comes back maybe a little bit more fit, a little bit more healthy. Back on track, Justin Ruffin from SIUE is going to have three matches, Kent State, Clarion, Buffalo. And like we were saying, Matt Zovostowski from Appalachian State has a pretty good
matchups
too. pending projection for the Virginia duels, Anthony Ardalona, as we were saying, is a close
not a bonus point guy, but should get at least four wins here.
I would think so. But you also have Jesse Delavecchia, who's tough. Yeah. You have Larry Early, who's been up and down.
Yeah. Really. I still think Ardalona can at least get you three wins.
I think so. You just have to hope that maybe he faces one of those lesser guys and gets maybe a pin or something like that. Give you a little bit of extra breathing room. 65, Josh Shields went tonight. Ended up getting the win.
He won.
He got the win over Ethan Smith. And he's also going, they're going to the Devil Duels, obviously, hosted by it. So I like that. Who else are we looking at?
Marinelli's got two good matchups.
Yeah. And I think if your name isn't Vincenzo Joseph, I think Alex Marinelli lines up pretty good against you. And even with Vincenzo, he's always beaten Vincenzo Joseph. He just can't get to him in the finals, when it comes to NCAAs. Peyton Mocco, guy who's really been up and down for Missouri, last year had a great bonus point season, is home against Ohio and then at UNI. For UNI, who's their 65 pounder? 65, Pat Schoenfelder, 9-7 on the year. I don't like that for Schoenfelder and you and I. I think that more for Peyton Mocco. I think this is two bonus points. I think this is at least 8 points.
Yeah, I agree too. Two bonus point wins for him there.
And Tommy Bullard's only got one match. He's against Princeton, but that's – who's that? 65 for Princeton is going to be
– it's not Monday, is it?
No, Monday's 57.
Yeah.
So for Princeton –
oh, it's the guy from
– Grant Cuomo. Right?
Oh, yeah.
So he's 10-2 on the season, but I think Bullard is a different level for him. I think let me see, because I think Princeton has two matches, right? Because I think I have Pat Glory, Pat Glory, North Carolina, and NC State, so they're going through the Carolinas. For Tommy Bullard, Russell Stat has it a win 8-6 over him. It's going to be a close contested match, but I think it's something that Tommy Bullard pulls out more than Grant Cuomo pulls that upset. And Shane Jones, really, there wasn't really anyone I did like at Virginia duels. They might all go 2-2, and it might just even itself out. But Shane Jones, out of all of them, I think I've had the most optimism for. So I think he's a guy I have to put in here for pending projection. We'll see what happens with that. But 174, Anthony Valencia. Didn't do too hot tonight.
No.
Got beat by Caleb Romero pretty
easily.
He got smacked around.
Get a nice move at the end there. Nice little flip over, little, takedown. But
too little, too late,
yeah,
as they say. So he's starting off -3 here. So hopefully he gets a couple more bonus point wins and ups that – tries to erase that -3 that he's got going so far. Neil Richards, the bonus point machine, he had like 60% bonus last year. He's going to have four matches actually.
Yeah.
He's got the Key Dead Duels and then at Sacred Heart. Unfortunately for Sacred Heart, anytime someone goes against them,
it's bonus
points. Mark Hall got two matches. I expect him to bonus both of those. Bryce Starrett's got a pretty good matchup with Missouri and with South Dakota State. Michael O'Malley from Drexel has American. Michael O'Malley's been on a bonus point tear as well.
Yeah, he has been.
So this is where it gets interesting for Virginia duels. You have Dean Sherry, Andrew McNally, Jackson Humauer, and Philip Spadafora. If Phillips rated 4. I haven't seen Russell in a while, but he's beaten some highly ranked guys, or middle ranked guys. You know, Andrew McNally's been on a tear. I think he's something like 17-4, something like that. And Dean Sherry's been up and down. He had that great match with Skatska where he just decimated Skatska. Yeah. And Sherry, I think at Scuffle placed like top 4.
Yeah, and they could all hit each other at this tournament.
They could.
So, I mean, it depends on how the brackets shake out.
Yeah. 84, Zahid Valencia tonight got the major.
One point away from the tech.
Yep, and they really could have used that point to try to tie it up. But Lou Dupre is going against Lehigh, Columbia, Hofstra. I see 12 points at least for him. Yeah,
he's going to add some good matchups for him, all three across the board.
And Aaron Brooks, we'll see how he's feeling after senior nationals, because he had that he had like a little tweak on his shoulder or elbow or something like that. So hopefully that's not anything too serious either. But you have all the big names in here. You have Hunter Bolin, you have Taylor Venz, Taylor Luan going, all supposed to get 4 or more points projected. I like any one of those. A sleeper that I like, Britt Wilson, for going against Cal Poly. I think that's a major, could be possibly a attack or pin. But George Walton also from Ryder, going to the Virginia duels. We'll just have to see how it plays out, because at 74 or 84, I mean, there's really nobody else. There's Antonio Agee from Old Dominion.
Yeah, he's probably the best competition.
He's been beaten by so many people. Yeah. Shane Mast maybe from Kent State, but still, like, they just get beat.
Yeah.
Whenever you think there's maybe a hint of maybe they could be something, they lose.
They lose.
Guy that I picked up in my leagues, Greg Bolsack from Clarion.
Great name.
Great leg rider too.
Yes.
So nasty, it works on top. Works perfectly. He's versus SIUE and at the cadet duels. So Russell Stapp projects him at 18 points.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
I think he gets at least one pin throughout this thing, and he bonuses or texts his way through. He's nasty on top.
He's very good on top.
Tanner Harvey, prior to the scuffle, had a good bonus rate. Ben Darmstadt has been, since moving up to 97, has been just a pinning machine.
Looks much better at 97.
Much better. Dakota Gear trying to get back in the form after that scuffle. Had an okay scuffle. But the guy that beat him, Ethan Laird, will be at Virginia Duels. You also have the scuffle second place, Jay Aiello, and Jaron Smith from Maryland.
Yeah.
So not a lot of Maryland flair on this, but those are kind of shot in the dark kind of guys. Guys that have shown promise, but you don't know. And let's round out with 285. Kerry Miller, like I was saying, from Appalachian State.
Good pick.
He's at 15 points. Could be more, too. Just depends. He's a pinner. He's a major getter. Anthony Cassiope, as we know, I don't think anyone from Indiana or Purdue is really going to be in his way.
No, probably not.
And Jordan Wood hopefully gets back on track. He hasn't been having a great December. He's going against Binghamton and Cornell, which would be Furman, I think, for Cornell. Yeah. Furman's tough, but I think that's something that he can definitely beat, especially since it's EIWA, and usually Cornell Lehigh is like that in division.
Yeah, the rivalry.
Kinda, the rivalry, you know, Eagles-Giants, Eagles-Cowboys kind of thing. Going back to 97, too, your first place at the scuffle, Noah Adams is wrestling Virginia Tech. That would be good to see how he stacks up against Virginia Tech.
Who's that, Virginia Tech Greenan?
No, that's NC State.
Oh, my bad.
That's going to be...
I'm thinking of wrong.
I can't spell Virginia. Virginia Tech, their 97-pounder is... Stanley Smeltzer. Oh, I'm thinking... I was thinking Bolin. Oh, geez.
Yeah.
No, Bolin's at 84. Right. So, as I was saying. But Noah Adams should get that win and up his... Bonus point. Forget what I said. Forget the last 20 seconds.
He's definitely the best wrestler on that West Virginia program. And, you know, he's probably the only good wrestler in the program right now. They're still trying to rebuild under Flynn, but it hasn't been very successful yet. But he just got there.
And we have Gable Stevenson listed at 285. He's going to be wrestling against Trent Hilger. But I think at this point, it's safe to say that Stevenson's that guy that no matter who he's going on, even if it's Casser, you put him out there.
Yeah, you put him out there. It's probably going to be a decision win, but because Hilger's hard to score on, but he still gets the win, I think.
And at Virginia Duels, you have Josh Hokett, loves the low single. Every match I've seen, he shoots at least two or three John Smith singles.
Is he back now?
He's back.
He's back. Not no more football.
Not any Heisman Hoka is over. No bowl game for Fresno State, from what I understand. So he's back. He looks like a 40-year-old man right now. He always has his head wrapped. He looks like he's always tired. He's wrestling up at heavyweight now, and I don't know. But
that football shape isn't wrestling shape.
Right. So maybe he'll hit his stride towards the end of this semester, get some duels out of the way. But Quinn Miller from Virginia and Ryan Cloud are just some other guys from Ryder who, round out the heavyweight ones. But, it really depends. Take a look at it. Set your lineup. It's really going to depend on the matchups see. But that's about it. We held you guys way too long. We thought we were going to be pretty quick with this. We weren't. As usual, we're at the hour 30 mark. So, anything before we go?
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for listening. We will see you next week. We appreciate the listen. And go win week 11.